Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Ephesians chapter 2. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Lesson 170, God's Amazing Grace. In our last lesson, we heard about the many blessings that belong to those who are in Christ. Today, we will learn more about the blessings God has for His children, and in particular, the amazing grace of God in salvation. We shall also consider the revelation of the church being made of both Jews and Gentiles as an eternal habitation for God. The first section of this chapter will teach us of the amazing grace of God that rescued us and brought us into the church, where God will dwell eternally. He begins by speaking of where we were before we were saved. We were dead in our sins, prisoners of Satan, disobedient, running after every lustful desire, and destined for God's wrath. When the scripture here says that we were dead, it does not mean physical death, but rather spiritual death. This means we were separated from God. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air here, and this teaches us that Satan has authority and power to rule over people in this world, since they are his captives through their sinful nature. Men serve Satan even when they do not realize it. In this bleak situation, God intervenes with his great mercy, showing us his great love. Out of death he brought life, joining us to be with Christ in heavenly places. The purpose God had in saving us was so that He could show us all the great riches of His grace given to us through Christ Jesus throughout the eternal ages to come. We have here one of the clearest and most important statements in the Bible about the way God saves a soul. He does this by grace, apart from any effort or work on our part. Salvation is God's free gift, and you cannot pay for it or earn it in any way. Make sure that your confidence is in Christ and in Christ alone to save you. For if you are trusting in yourself or your good works, then you do not have God's salvation and will not be in heaven. We are called God's workmanship. That means God's masterpiece. When God saves us from judgment and gives us a new nature through the work of the Holy Spirit, He then begins transforming us to be more and more like Jesus. We reflect God's glory, abide with Him forever, we are for His pleasure, and this is God's greatest masterpiece. It reveals the greatness of the Master and is intended so that all may know Him and praise Him. With such lofty position and privilege, we must always remember where we came from so that we will have a grateful and humble heart, willing and ready to serve our great Master. Once we were aliens from God's chosen people. We did not know Christ, and we were strangers to the blessings and hope given to Israel in the Scriptures. We were without God and without hope. Now in Christ we have been brought near through His blood and are being joined together as Jews and Gentiles into one body. There is no more separation or enmity, bringing an end of the law through His cross by paying for sin's penalty. God's plan to join together all nations into one body in Christ, both Jew and Gentiles, was an important revelation, not known before. This was difficult for many of the Jews to accept. The Ephesian believers were mostly made up of Gentiles, and they ought to be thankful to be part of this great salvation that came through Jesus Christ and the nation of Israel. Here the church are described as citizens of heaven, belonging to God's household. The church foundation was provided through the ministry of apostles and prophets, but the chief cornerstone upholding the entire church is Jesus Christ Himself. The church is being built as a holy dwelling place where God will eternally reside through the Holy Spirit. There are so many remarkable truths to consider from this chapter, and indeed we are lost with wonder as Paul carries us into heavenly places, showing us all that we have been given in Christ. The salvation that comes by grace means that it is free and comes from the heart of God to us. There is no work or payment to be made. We just reach out and receive it and just say thank you. We see the great extent of God's grace when we consider where we were as lost sinners. We lived in darkness, alienated from God and His chosen people. We did not have the Holy Spirit to guide us into the light of the Scriptures and God's promises of redemption. The devil held us captive and led us in the path of disobedience and fleshly lust. Of course, many people do not even realize that they are slaves to Satan and sin. because they have not experienced the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. I have met plenty of people who once professed to be Christians and continue to say they are Christians when there is no evidence that they have the Holy Spirit. Their lives still appear to be controlled by Satan and their sin. Their conduct is not what the Holy Spirit would teach, but is rather what Satan would teach them. Don't fool yourself into thinking you are a Christian simply because you once met with some Christians, went to church, or got baptized. There ought to be a real transformation in your life, your conduct, attitude, words, ambitions, and affections, so that no one can mistake the fact that Jesus has come into your life and made you new. One amazing truth revealed to us in this scripture is God's plan to join together people from all nations into one body, the church. People from the Jewish nation formerly were thought to be God's only chosen people, and so when God began to call Gentiles to faith in Christ, the Jews became more than indignant, for they thought they alone were God's chosen. However, God has made it very clear that He loves all people and desires the salvation of all men everywhere. The church is God's great design, with people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Men of all different backgrounds living in unity through the work of the Holy Spirit and made into God's eternal dwelling through the Spirit. If you are a Christian, God lives inside of you through the Holy Spirit, and He will be in you forever. This truth is difficult for us to understand and to appreciate the wonder of it. The Almighty and Eternal God living inside of me? Wow, that is remarkable. This was made possible because God came into His creation as a man and took upon Himself the judgment for sin. Jesus was crucified to rescue our souls from God's wrath and Satan's rule. Not because we were good or deserved it, but because He wanted us to learn about the riches of His grace and see the glory of our Savior. We are saved by God's amazing grace. If you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can sing Amazing Grace with a sincere heart, inspired by God's kindness to your soul. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9.
It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious dear that grace appeared the hour I first believed. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains. Amen.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we heard about the amazing grace of God who saved us and brought us into the body of Christ to be an eternal dwelling place for God. We saw the great distance bridged by God when taking us from being dead in sin to being God's habitation through the Spirit. Someone might ask the question, what will we do when we get to heaven? In this chapter, we certainly are carried away into heavenly places to view some of the riches that belong to Christians. We also learn something about our occupation when we reach heaven. Let me start by saying that if you are hoping to reach heaven, then you must be sure that you are saved. Have you believed on Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you have clear evidence in your life of the transforming power of God to change you from a child of Satan to a citizen of heaven? If you are truly saved, there will be evidence of it in your life. One of the greatest evidences is a hope of future glory. Many people might wonder, though, what will I do in heaven? I have often asked this question to people, and they often respond with things like praising God, worship, or resting. But that is often as far as people go when imagining what they will do in heaven. Worship and praise are wonderful, but is that all we will do 24 hours each day, 7 days a week? Shall we play football, watch TV, work on a computer, read books, walk, dance, or eat ice cream? When we read the Bible carefully, we discover that there is not a great deal of information about our specific activities in heaven, but there are certainly some ideas about what will occupy us in heaven. It is fascinating to ask questions and wonder just what God has in store for us. While studying Scripture, we will find some important teaching that helps us to understand what heaven is all about and what we shall do there. Here is a list of 8 things that I have found in the Bible about what Christians will do in heaven. Number 1, we will be with Jesus. That's from John 14, verse 6. And this speaks of affiliation. We shall be joined together with Jesus and be forever with him. And this speaks of our affiliation. And number 2, we shall behold Jesus, John 17:24. We shall behold the glory of Jesus, more beautiful than a sunrise or flower, and this speaks of admiration. Number 3, we shall study Jesus, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. We shall learn about the grace of God throughout eternity, and this speaks of appreciation. Number 4, we will be like Jesus, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. We shall also be changed to be like Jesus, and this speaks of adaptation. Number 5, we will serve Jesus. This comes from Revelation chapter 14, verse 3, and Luke chapter 9, verse 17. We shall serve our Lord Jesus, and this speaks of attention. Number 6, we shall reign with Jesus, Revelation 5, verse 10, and Psalm chapter 8, verse 6. We shall also reign with our Lord and have dominion, and this speaks of administration. Number 7, we shall receive from Jesus, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, Romans chapter 8, verses 17, 18, and 32. We shall also receive an inheritance as God's blessings, as God blesses us with his abundance, and this speaks of accumulation. And lastly, number 8, we will love Jesus, Philippians 1:23. Finally, we shall be bonded together in love with our Savior, and this speaks of affection. We can therefore sum up our activities in heaven with just one word, Jesus. Everything we shall do or enjoy in heaven has reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is all about him. So if our heart is right, we shall be in love with Jesus. And if our thinking is right, then we shall look forward to being with Jesus, admiring and serving him. I am not convinced that all of us will do exactly the same thing all the time in heaven, since our rewards are given in proportion to our faithful service. Then it stands to reason that positions and service in heaven will differ also. In one of the parables of Jesus from Matthew 25, the faithful servants were given more to rule over his kingdom because they had been faithful in their service on earth. This shows us the connection between our service now and the activities or service we shall enjoy in heaven. To get the most out of heaven, we need to be sure we are investing into heaven now through faithful service for our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. John chapter 17, verse 24. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the home of God. He to rescue me from danger, interpose his precious blood. Unto grace how great a debtor, daily
if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Saved through faith, but this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, but this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Salvation, 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 salvation. It is a gift of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, but this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, but this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God.